My title this morning is Unqualified. Unqualified. So this morning we obviously celebrating Father's Day, and can I just say I'm so aware actually of those whose fathers are not with us anymore, whose fathers have passed on, and our condolences for that, and I pray that our Heavenly Father will comfort you. Even though everybody else is celebrating their fathers today, I really pray that you will be encountered by God the Father and that He will meet you where you are. He's not oblivious to where you are, and I trust that He will touch your life this morning. Amen. But you know, as I was thinking about today, this was the thought that came up to me in thinking about being a father. You know what I've learned about fatherhood? And you know what, sweetheart? I was actually thinking about it this morning. You know, we have premaritals and marriage enrichments, and maybe we should have a pre-fatherhood and motherhood. Huh? Maybe that's a course we should work on. Because, you know, I realized becoming a father, there is no place I can go for training. I've checked. The universities don't have a degree of fathering that they actually have. The colleges either. There's no way you can actually go and sit down and say, listen, I am becoming a dad. I'm busted. How do I become a father? So for those that are sitting here today that are not fathers, may the Lord bless you. May you find someone that has gone before you and sit them down and say, listen, can you teach me? It's very quiet. You see, because that's the thing which I think is missing in this. Because if you think of it, look, like I say, there's no place I can go for training. The only training that I had was my father. And I have a great dad, an awesome dad. I mean, that guy is solid. But you know what? Kan ons regheid wees? He's full of nonsense too, and he makes mistakes. You know, and I've learned a few things about not to do by looking at him. And it's only when you actually become a father that you understand the other side of that coin. Because we look at our fathers and we go like, ugh, you know, dad, you know, you're so and so and you don't do that. And, you know, ugh, why are you like that? Can you not just be different, you know? Or, you know, why? And they let you down and they fail, you know. They don't pitch for that rugby game or that hockey game or that netball game. You know, they let you down. They're not perfect. Right? Is your pa's all right? Is this the truth? Am I speaking the truth? Okay, say, is my pa die? Hope for my pa prods. That's what you're saying. You see, they're not perfect. They're trying their best. And the thing is, the only school they had to go to was their father. And his father was just his father. And you know what? Like, what if, like my dad, I think he was, if I remember correctly, and I stand on a correctie, I think it was something like 8 or 9 or 10 or something when his father passed away. And to create a stiff pa, which was a nice oak, but not, it wasn't his dad. You see, now he goes through a different training school and he sees things differently. And then he gets married. He marries my mother, awesome woman, Court. I look down at her always. But she's feisty, poppy. Hy klein grys haar koppie, nou, you don't mess with that auntie. Sy, ja, she's disciplined, as hy. Daai stert het gebrand. In any case, but now he marries her, and I mean, they're in love and all the thing. And what happens? You know, they do the marriage act, and we get born. Have you noticed it comes after that? In any case, never mind. Okay. But you see, this is the process that's being followed, and yet nowhere is there that he could go for training. If I think back on who my dad was, you know, I think of the wealth of books and stuff that we have access to. I mean, my wife is a reader. She's a reader and a teacher. She reads it and then I get told what to do. Works for us. I'm being discipled by the one that's younger than me. I love it, okay? You know, it's when I do something and she gets this kind of quiet thing, and I'm like, You know, am I now right or am I now wrong? You know, I've spoken to the kids and she's just like, you know that, yeah. But you know, it's like, near. What you're doing now is not working. And then inevitably, she takes me into the bedroom. Scary moment. I'm in the headmaster's office. No, I'm joking. But she takes me and she says, listen, I think you did X, Y, and Z. And maybe you shouldn't have done it that way and so on. And then for me to go, oh, shucks. Oh, that's hectic, eh? Maybe I was wrong. Maybe I was a bit tough. You know, and that's the way I learned to be a father is we're doing this thing together. And I'm sure it was the same thing with, and many moms will tell you that they've taken the dad one side and they said, Willie Bariki, yeah, he's no biki over the top, you know. Chill your burners. Can you net biki kalmeer asseblief? It is not that bad. He just broke the vase. He didn't steal a car. You know, just relax. You know? But for us as dads, you know, we never do it in a ons gaan vir goud. No? We want to make sure they don't ever even think about doing anything similar. No? All right, I say, see? In Genesis 2:24, we see this. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and his mother and hold to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. And this is the start of it all. This is now where the husband leaves his father. And listen, husbands, the point is that you leave your father and mother. Okay, any case, let's not preach that today. But you know, when a husband leaves his father and his mother and he cleaves to his wife, inevitably the cleaving gets, any case. And then children are born. Now, I remember the first, when Jemuel was born. Jemuel, you know, the nice thing about the dad, and I'm honest when I say this, the nice thing about it is we're involved before and then we get involved again after the baby's born. All right, that whole 9-month stint, we've got nothing to do. You know, you're just like, honey, ach, is he so erg nie? And then you duck because she's going to take you out. But you know, they grow and they're uncomfortable. And if it's in the summer months, you know, it's like hectic for them, man. And I just kept looking at this thing and thinking, Jesus, thank you for making me the man. I'm really honest. Thank you, Father. I'm the man in this whole thing. And then obviously the birth comes. I mean, hello. And I mean, she was in kraam geweest for what, 36 hours with Jemuel. Jeepers, that was hectic. But you know what? When Jemuel was born, okay, it was a cesarean section, so out comes he and he's full blood and all the rest of it. That is a pretty sight, you know. It's just a father can love your son or your daughter in that moment. It's like, all I grease and I soap and the blood and the gooders is awesome, man. And the dude, whatever the dude is, what's pediatr, seen. I was just there for a baby, man. I didn't care what the other. But then he wraps him and he gives him to you. Ach, moeder. And all that toughness melts like. I mean, it's gone when you take this little man. And when you're full Swiss, oh, whatever. You're full Swiss, you know, I'm going to break this thing. I sure claim. And then you hold him, and then you look into those little eyes, and suddenly, ach, yes, in your chops. But you know, the one thing that in that moment that I think changes for every father, if they're walking with a Heavenly Father, is the understanding of what He feels about us and how He feels about us. And He looks at us, and He goes, whoa. And everything melts in you, and you go, like, wow, God, this is so awesome. Now, I just want to say to you that, you know, if you had a father who was a good example for you, then you are very blessed. If you had a father who's been walking with God and who served God all his life, then you don't know how blessed you are. Because you see, in my opinion, looking at this whole thing, that's probably the only teaching school that we can go to, is to go sit at our Father God's feet and say, can you teach me? So for the dads, I want to say this morning, listen, I know how hard it is to be a father. I know what it feels like to sometimes think, man, I've messed up bad now. You know, oh, I should have done. You know that thing of where they say hindsight is 20/20? Where you always look back and you think, man, I just should have done that. But in the heat of the moment when things are going, you know, you make decisions and stuff. You work with the best that you have. Or maybe, you know, you were in a place where you were broken yourself and your father wasn't a good example to you. So you made some bad choices. And that's okay. Because God knows. It wasn't okay. Okay. But it's okay in the sense that God knows exactly where you are. He sees exactly what you've done. And you know what? It is never too late. Today is the day of salvation, God says. And today I want to take you from where you are now to where I want you to be. And if that means that God needs to walk a journey with you to teach and you and equip you so that you can get to a place where you can fulfill His mandate as a father, then please engage Him on that journey. Okay? Don't back off any longer. And for those that are sitting here that are still young, I want to encourage you. You know, if your father's not like that, ask some questions. If your father's not like that, then get to someone that you can see is godly and ask them a few questions. Please don't expect perfection. Because there's one thing that I would love to be is be the perfect father. Now, that's a bargain. If I can be the perfect father, then probably I will leave this earth. Because this earth is broken. So we become the perfect fathers when we leave this earth, I think. I'm not sure. But until that day, we as dads, we have stuff, man. But let us walk with God. Let us seek His face. Let us become who He is in our fatherhood. So this morning, I want to encourage the fathers a bit. And I just want to say, listen, I want you to trust and not lean. Okay? And the scripture there is Proverbs 3 verse 5. He says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. Probably for me, the most important scripture for us as fathers, for us as young men, for us that are not married yet, is listen, the sooner you start walking in this, the sooner you start pursuing this, you know, and this is true. I'm speaking to dads today, but this is true for each one of us sitting here. This is, if you want to do something wise in your life, then I want to say to you, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. The problem with that second part of lean not on your own understanding is that it comes so naturally to us. Come on. I'm sure you look at a situation, you know, you do the math, which I don't do, but you calculate in your brain, this is sort of what I need to do, you know, this is the plan of action, and it makes sense to me, and then I just go for it. Ech? Is that how it works? But you see, if I understand the scripture right, then it says, do not lean on that, which is difficult. You know, I know God gives us wisdom, And he allows us to work through these things, and He's given us a brain, we can figure it out. But you see, when you trust in the Lord with all your heart, if that is where your confidence is, rather in the math or the spreadsheet or the thinking or the research or whatever, then you will succeed when it's there and not there. But when you're banking on the way that you think it should do, so if there's one thing that I've learned, and I know I've said this before in my walk with God, is the thing of if it makes sense to me in my mind, I'm actually hesitant to do it. Because you see, I've learned that faith doesn't make sense to me. In actual fact, faith freaks me out. Because it makes me do stupid stuff just to see God in His awesomeness. Now obviously it starts with this first sentence. Is that trust relationship? Is that walking with God? Is that hungering and a thirst? And look at it. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will make straight your paths. Now, if you acknowledge Him in all your ways, if you're saying, God, teach me, show me, then what happens? Your paths become straight. And He teaches your foot where to step and where to dwell, and He will lead you. But this doesn't come without that. And it surely doesn't happen if you lean on your own understanding. This is not going to happen. And look at this. Oh, man, verse 7. Be not wise in your own eyes. Oops. That's a tough one. But fear the Lord. Be not wise. You know what? We as dads, this sometimes when you're in that situation and you have to make a call and you need to be wise. Don't be wise in your own eyes. Don't do that. Fear God. Turn from evil. Every decision that we make in our lives, we need to say, God, is this your will? How does it line up with Scripture? What are you wanting to do in my life? And it's when we do that, that our lives, our paths become straight. It's not an easy road. Because you see, when I lean on my own understanding, I'm in control. I know what I've decided. I don't know what's going to happen. I've got a good idea of what I think should happen. But when I trust in the Lord, I'm not in control. Then I say, Father, here's his steer wheel. You drive. Show me where I need to go. But I want to challenge you, as you pursue this, as a father, but even as a wife or a young man or woman sitting here today, if you trust the Lord, see what happens in your life. If you lean not on your own understanding, see what happens in your life. But listen, if there's one thing that we need to lean on God for, it is the following, and I just want to go through these things. So as dads this morning, let's firstly lean on God for salvation. Ephesians 2 verse 8, by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not of your own doing. It is a gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. You see, our salvation, we cannot even attain our own salvation. We cannot make it happen. But I want to take this a bit further. Trust God to save you day by day. Trust God to save you, can I say, from yourself, day by day, from that leaning on your own understanding. Trust God for salvation in every area of your life so that you can be free. You see, because when you trust in Him, your paths become straight. Okay? It is through faith. It is through faith. It is not through our understanding. And we certainly cannot do this. You know, it's a scary thing. Scary is maybe not the right word, but when you make decisions in the family and you're saying, God, what should I do? It's that waiting. That waiting that sometimes can get to us. Say, God, show me. It's when the pressure's on. And listen, while I'm saying the word pressure, never make a decision under pressure. Our God doesn't work like that, sorry. If there's no peace, if there's no quietness, He doesn't apply pressure. That's the enemy doing that nonsense. So we've tried to buy a house once, and the estate agent said to us, this was I think the Thursday, and he said, listen, he's going on show on Sunday, and this area is very popular and is going to sell. Quick, 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 quick. And we were very interested. We actually thought, but we just said, listen, we want to think over the weekend, we'll tell you on Monday, but in our hearts I think we've decided this is the house. And when he said that, we said, yes, Rach, put it on show. It's our house, it won't sell. We'll speak to you on Monday. And it freaked him out. And you know, for him as a state agent, he lived in the area where we eventually bought that house. Every now and then when I spoke to him, he still was flabbergasted in the fact that we said, Rach, sit hom op die mark. Show it. But you see, we had peace. Okay? So trust God to save you in whatever situation you're finding yourself. Then lean on God for strength. Isaiah 40 verse 30 says, even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall fall exhausted. Now, ek het dit nie Woensdag gesien by die action cricket nie. In actual fact, it was the other way around. Gelukkig was ek die deel van die ou manne wat moeg geraak het nie. Yes. In any case, okay, the young men shall fall exhausted, but they who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. Gents, sometimes you just have to wait. If you want to go further in strength, If you want to move with you need to wait. A chilpel. Can you let a chilpel? Swallow thy poppy. Vat a chilpel and wait. Okay? Just say, God, when you say move, I move. Listen, in our humanity and in our humanness, we want it yesterday. They say most of us now, we're the microwave generation. You know, bleep, 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 zzz, ping, ready. It doesn't work like that in faith. We can't have the, you know, heat for 1 minute and it's ready to eat type thing. We have to wait. Okay? Wait on the Lord and you shall renew your strength. They shall mount up on wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Now I want to tell you, if you're sitting here this today, whether you're a dad or not, and you're feeling tired, then maybe this should happen. Maybe you shall wait on God for strength. I want to guarantee you, when you wait on Him for the strength, then the next phase will be much easier. But if you pursue and if you press in, even in your exhaustedness, look, if He's saying, I want you to push through, it's a different story. Even though you're exhausted, but in general, wait on God. Okay, then the next thing we need to lean on God for is supply. Philippians 4:19, and my God will supply every need of yours according to His riches in glory in Christ Jesus. This scripture is true, and we need to lean on God for this. If you are standing before a decision, or you're going through some lack, you're feeling the pressure, whatever, then I want to challenge you to do this. Trust God for the supply. Don't swipe the credit card. This is the maklik. It's easy peasy. You know, it's no effort. You go, I know, I've done it. So, even these days, you don't even swipe it anymore. You give it to the lady. She goes, I'll take your money. Thank you. Right? But be careful that you don't run ahead of God. Wait for the supply. Wait for Him to answer your prayers. Then the next thing that we need to lean on Him for is the soundness of mind. 2 Timothy 1:7. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and the sound mind. Listen, we have not. Gents, I want to encourage you today as a father. You do not have a spirit of fear. Do not lean on that thing. Do not submit under it. If you're going to walk according to the Spirit, you do not have a spirit of fear. But if you're going to do the math in the earthly way, fear will come over you. Because it's probably not going to make sense. You know, you're not going to have enough money to retire or whatever the opinion is or the problem is here. Okay? But trust God for that sound mind. Trust God that you walk in the Spirit. You have not received the spirit of fear, but a spirit of power and love and a sound mind. So when you seek God's face and you sit at His feet, you will have a sound mind. You will know what to do. Okay, then James 1:5 says, if any of you lacks wisdom, who lacks wisdom? Man. Let him ask God, now look at this, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given to him. So I don't read there that if you're seeking God for wisdom, He's not going to give it to you. In actual fact, He says, listen, if you ask me for wisdom, I will give it generously. Now, what happens if you do something generously? It's like me taking this bottle of water and start pouring it over this glass and pouring and pouring and pouring. Okay, it's maybe a grudder, you know. And it starts running over. That's generously. So if you're trusting God for wisdom, be prepared to receive it generously. But you see, we shouldn't be double-minded, Scripture says. It's if you're going to trust God for wisdom, trust Him for wisdom and lean not on your own understanding. So God, give me wisdom so that I can. But then you must not be double-minded, because a double-minded man receives nothing from the Lord. Okay? Then, gents, the next thing you need to do is lead your flesh. Okay, and we've read Romans, but Galatians says the same thing, Galatians 5:16. But I say, walk in the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things you want to do. Oh, thy last sin. You see, if you're walking in the Spirit, you cannot do the things of the flesh. And if you're walking in the flesh, you cannot do the things of the Spirit. So you have a choice to make. So you need to lead your flesh. You need to decide today what you're going to do as a man. How are you going to lead your family? What decisions are you going to make? For the moms and even the single moms, what thoughts? How are you going to lead your flesh? And how does it play out in the physical? And then the next thing is lead your families. Ephesians 5:23 says this: For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself its savior. So Christ is the head of the family. Just in the same way, because this we represent, our marriages represent Christ, the relationship between Christ and his church. Obviously, now, gents, we need to take the lead. And if we read Ephesians 6 verse 4, it says, Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Now listen, if we're leading our house, it doesn't mean that I'm just leading my wife, but I'm also leading my children. Now this scripture is something that you know, since they were born, this scripture comes out every now and then. That thing of do not provoke your children to anger. Don't mess them up so that they get angry, but walk with them in humility. Love them like a father should love them. You know, that's a challenge. That's not all tough. That humility sometimes of admitting, you know, maybe I was wrong. Or not maybe. What if forgive me? Ek was verkeerd. That's humility. And we can do that when we find our strength in God. When we lead our house as Christ is leading his church. And we'll see later where he even gives himself for it. So we need to, as the husbands, as the fathers, lead our house in the same way that Christ led his church. Amen. Let us not provoke our children to anger. I tell the story, and I just think about this. The moment I was scolding Jemuel, and it was a bit harsh. And afterwards, Lord, it spoke to me, and I realized I was a bit woos. And he was a small man. And I went to him, and I knelt down on my knees, and I looked him in his eyes, and I said, "My sin, forgive me." It was the first time in my life, that I saw the power of asking for forgiveness as a grown-up. Where that young man's little face, you could see he was tormented by what just happened. And in that moment, it went from that little opgefronste gezichtje to the lights going on. Because he knew I was wrong. As small as he was, he knew I was wrong. And I asked for forgiveness. And it changed me, I think, more than what it touched his life. Okay? So we need our love and lead our families. The next thing, gents, we need to do is love. We need to love the Father firstly. Deuteronomy 11 verse 1 says, You shall therefore love the Lord your God, and listen to this, and keep his charge, his statutes, his rules, and his commandments always. What a responsibility as a man, as someone who follows Christ, that we can have this, that we need to love the Lord our God in this way, that we will obey his charge, we will obey his statutes, we will obey his rules and his commandments. Not sometimes, but always. It's when we do this, when we love our God, our family finds security in that. Because I see God consistently being God. And as we love in the same way as Father God does. Listen, this doesn't come overnight. This comes with a relationship. Where in your understanding and knowing Scripture, and you're understanding His commandments, and you understand His rule. And you know, when you don't understand, you have someone that you go to and say, "Help me understand, because I don't understand, so that I can live this." And it's when we love our Father, then we will love our families. Ephesians 5 verse 25 says, Husbands, ooh, man, this Scripture. Love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Such a powerful image that the love was so strong that it led to death. It was so powerful that it was willing to sacrifice everything for the bride, for the family. And we are part of that bride. And we will not sit here today if Christ did not do that for each one of us. So you know, there's a in the marriage and leading the family, there's a point where that dying to self needs to come out a lot. You know where you really die to yourself? We had a discussion the other day. I said, listen, I can just think, and this is by no means my desire, but I can think if I was this age, but I was single and, you know, maybe still were in my plumbing business and earning great amounts of money, my life would look different. I would have different things. I would do different things. I would have probably been different places, etc. But you know, there's a lot of stuff that you as a family and as a father and mother do not pursue because of love, because of the next generation. And it's that getting ready to hand over the baton. Man, and we're getting close. We're handing over this baton. And we say, listen, can you run? Can you go for it? But I need to love my family in the same way that Christ loved the church and he gave himself up for it. Then we need to love the church, gents. We need to have the heart of the psalmist, which says in Psalm 69 verse 9, the zeal for your house has consumed me. Go meditate on that thing. Just take that scripture, just go sit down, go meditate on that, and think, what does that mean for you? Do you have a zeal for God's house? This is a dangerous prayer to pray, I think, in my opinion. Let the zeal for your house consume me. Let the zeal for your bride consume me. But you know, it's when I pursue God and his mission in that way, that the expression of the love that he has for me will just be expressed through me to those around me. And then lastly, gents, know that. In John 15:5 it says, I am the vine and you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. And then the last part. For apart from me, you can do nothing. And you know, for me as a father, I know I fail sometimes. I know I'm not perfect. But there's one thing I keep coming back to, and it's this. That apart from him, I can do nothing. Apart from him, I cannot lead my house properly. Apart from him, I cannot make the right decisions. Apart from him, I will choose the wrong path. Apart from him, I cannot live. It's when I am in that security, when I am in that place, that vulnerable place where I am abandoned before Father God, and I'm saying, Lord, I don't know what to do. Because I do have that moments where I'm sitting and I'm going, Father, I really don't know what to do. I guess clueless. I don't know which road to take here. And sometimes as a dad and as a mother, I know this because we go through this. You sit in those places where, what do you do? How do you solve this problem? And then the knowledge of, apart from him, we can do nothing. And in that situation becomes a desperateness after God, where the psalmist says, listen, as a deer pants for the water, so my soul longs for you. I'm pursuing you because, God, I cannot do this without you. If you're the vine, then there's no fruit from this branch happening if I'm not pursuing you. So, fathers, in closing, I believe when we do the things that I've just spoken about, you will succeed. I will succeed. If we press into those things, it will become less about us and more about him. And his glory will shine through us. This morning I want to encourage you to be strong and courageous despite your faults, your failures. Can you let your past be your past? No, some of us have messed up more in the past than others, and that's fine. But can you leave it there? And can you be strong and courageous? Can you step into the promises that God has for you now? Can you no longer delay to walk into those things and allow God to take you further and further? You see, this earth, this generation needs fathers to stand up in a godly manner, to say, listen, this is the way. This generation becomes so tech savvy that they lose relationship in a sense. Where's the fathers? The fathers need to rise up. And for those that are about to become fathers and those that are still going to become fathers, you need to know it starts here now. Your pursuit of God starts here now. It doesn't happen the day when you get married. You better lay the foundations now so that you can make the wise decisions forward. Amen? So be strong and courageous. You might feel unqualified today to be a dad, but I want to say to you that you are called for greatness. I want to say to you that you are qualified, not because of your past, because of your Father who loves you, who is in pursuit of you, who has taught you everything. And that's my next point. The Heavenly Father has shown you the way. Follow Him. It's that dying to myself. It's that laying down of my life where the security comes. Okay? And then above that, He gives you His Holy Spirit to teach you. It's when you press into God and you say, listen, Lord, teach me. And then, gents, lastly, be the father He wants you to be. Only because you are hidden in Him. Amen? So I know this morning I've spoken to the dads, but I know this message also applies to so much more than just fathers. You see, it's for each one of us and how we walk before God and how we hunger and thirst for Him. What are we going to do with the way God has modeled things for us? How do we take things further from here? And may we be found faithful to pursue God in this manner, to say, God, I'll follow You. I'll press in. I'll lean not on my own understanding. I'll trust You, God. I'll trust You and I'll trust You fully. Amen.